Hello, and welcome to How to Be a Better DM. My name is Tanner Wayland, and together we're going to learn about how to make great adventures for our players. Today we're going to jump right in. We do have, as I mentioned, and I'm going to mention this briefly before I jump into our topic, we do have a one-shot happening in a couple weeks. Those slots are filled up, but we're doing these more consistently now. We'll be doing a monthly for the most part, and you can see on our website, and I'll even have the link in the show description, but you can sign up there. We'd love to have you. We always love playing with our listeners. It's always such a fun time. Okay, now I can get to the meat, to the good stuff. And today it's about one-shots, specifically how to make D&D one-shots with impact. What do I mean? So a lot of times you'll probably notice this during, you know, a longer campaign. There's specific moments that are really fun. There's some moments that are really, you know, deep and provocative. And then there's other moments that are just so-so, right? The problem with one-shots is you don't have a whole campaign and multiple sessions and multiple times together with players to, you know, make a juicy experience, right? So that's the hard thing with one-shots. They're kind of like short stories as compared to novels, where like a novel doesn't always need to be just five stars, right? They've got some downtime. They've got some exposition. They have different parts that aren't really moving you, but they're kind of ramping up, right? A short story, you don't get that luxury. Everything kind of has to be fine-tuned and perfected so that every part of it is just impactful and meaningful and really hits you. And that's kind of what you're trying to do with one-shots as well. You don't have the buildup. You don't get to have just average parts. I mean, you can, right? But the hope is that your players have kind of the range of emotions that, you know, they would have during a campaign, but within a one singular one-shot. And that's pretty hard, frankly. But you know, you can do it, and there's a few tips that I have today that can really help you make one-shots with impact. First, I think this is something, you know, it's true of people, and it's true of one-shots. If there isn't a purpose or a clearly defined mission, then a lot of times it can wander. And I think that that's especially true when DMs don't know how to start out a one-shot correctly. And so to start out correctly and to give, you know, kind of that mission statement, quote unquote, what you're going to want to do is provide conflict and weight, as in like make it so that the conflict is kind of a weighty matter that the characters and the players playing them will actually care about. So to do this, there's a couple ways. One, when you're writing the one shot or when you're choosing a one shot, you know, if you choose a pre-written one, you're going to want to choose one that that the characters your players are bringing to the table that they would care about, right? For example, there's this one that I've been writing, and I'm actually going to be using it next week. But it's about a wedding, and now yes, the wedding's with a princess and everything. But the reason why the characters care is because they've been childhood friends with the princess, and that's why they've been, you know, bridesmaids, groomsmen, because they have that close connection with the couple. And of course, it helps that she's a princess and he's a prince and everything, right? Regardless, that kind of storytelling and being like, hey, this has a weighty conflict for the characters involved and they'll want to be involved, that kind of adds some nice motivation, right? Second, you're going to want to be really specific with your intro lines. Sometimes DMs, when it's a longer campaign, they have a nice little intro, but then it's just a lot of, you know, sitting around a tavern, kind of getting to slowly, emphasis on the word slowly, get to know each other as characters, right? You don't have that luxury. You've got to just very quickly have everybody introduce themselves, and then you start in with a pre-written line, right? For another one shot that I've written, it could be something like this. The troops in Riven Pass are outnumbered, freezing, and starving. while defending against the hordes of kobolds. You and your team are the only ones who can help them survive the onslaught. The commander of the slowly moving reinforcements to those troops called you and your team in, handed you a bag of holding with supplies for the troops, and pointed over the mountain pass. "We can't wait," he said. "Or rather, they can't. You need to make it to that pass with the supplies for all those men, or else they die." Now, I think that you can see how something like that would feel different and also give a lot of immediate purpose over something where you're like, okay, here's the different players. You're walking through camp. Because I actually thought about this when I was writing the one shot. I had a whole scene where the players are walking through camp, and then the commander of the garrison of these reinforcements actually like has to sit down, and he's like in a meeting, and they go into the tent and he explains everything. That was fine. You know, it'd be fine maybe even in a lot of one shots. But I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm losing a lot of momentum, and momentum's key. Momentum and purpose are key in one shots. Cause if you don't have that, or rather if your players don't, then you're not going to probably get done, or you're going to have to skip a lot of parts, which you usually have to do anyway. And then, you know, and it's hard for them to feel as invested because they just lost that steam. So that's kind of my first piece of advice to make impactful one shots, is making sure that you have conflict and weight, with a W-E-I-G-H-T. Second, I would say that a good one-shot needs variety. Now, there's obviously exceptions, right? I'm sure everyone's heard of a one-shot where, you know, the entire thing happens in a coliseum, which, surprise, surprise, is just for fighting, you know? Yeah, you're maybe talking with the, you know, the leader equivalent, as you know, you bargain for your life as they sit up in the stands, right? But for the most part, it's going to be a gauntlet of enemies, you know, lions, tigers, bears, gladiators, oh my, you know? But even within a setting like that, and especially in a setting that isn't just begging for a continual fight, you're going to want to have a good amount of variety. And this is doubly true if you have new players. You want players to experience everything that a normal campaign has, right? That includes combats, skill checks, traps, which of course falls under skill checks, right? Role-playing and interacting with NPCs and other players, making decisions in terms of what you're going to do. If you can include all of those, then you've won, right? You've created a very well-rounded one-shot, which is always more enjoyable. I have some tips for this. Of course, first off, you've got to look at combats differently. You can't just be like, hey, here's a bunch of stat blocks against my player's stat blocks. Let's, you know, roll some dice. I would really argue that most combats, aside from maybe the combat with the big bad, or, you know, maybe not all of the combats, but like only one combat should be like super standard and basic, where it's just, you know, beating down the other side while they're beating you down. For the other combats, you should make it so that, you know, there's a chance that the NPC can be dissuaded, or the NPC and the players are going for the same objective, and whoever gets it essentially get the combat ends, right? Or it could be a case of wanting to have a trap go off in the middle of combat, or have it in an interesting environment. Whatever it is, throwing in these other kinds of curveballs can make it so that, hey, even when you're spending time in combat, your players are having an interesting experience with a lot of variety. And the same can be true for, you know, for more diplomatic role-playing situations, right? You can mix in skill checks. You can make it so that it's a very action-based type of conversation. You know, you could have the players see that the NPC is doing something, or they're guarding something, and then you can kind of have that action where it's a bit of back and forth, but then the players are like, hey, let me help you out. Or, you know, the rogue is like, hey, distract him. I'm going to go around and get through that door that he's guarding.
As a listener of this show, you obviously love story. Now that you've had a chance to craft your own story by listening to this show, wouldn't it be nice to get some inspiration? Or maybe you just want a moment of immersion and escape and entertainment. Whatever it is, come join us on our new show, Pact and Boon. It's an actual play D&D podcast in the world of Kalignos, where our characters, Jolly, Wolfgang, and Alon, will find and meet each other in Hell. And from there, start a troublemaking journey with some near-death experiences that will hopefully lead them to a happy ending. Find it wherever great podcasts are heard, or just go to sessionzerostudios.com/pactnboon. That's PACTNBOON. Start listening today.
Or whatever, right? The point is, you've got to look at things multidimensionally. A combat isn't just a combat when it comes to variety, right? It can also be skill checks and role-playing. And role-playing isn't just role-playing. It can also include skill checks and lead to potential combat. In all cases, you know, you're going to want to keep each of these different sections somewhat short, because it's hard to fit every, you know, every one of the wonderful aspects in D&D, from combat to role-playing to skill checks. It's hard to fit all of that in one session if you're not being super purposeful, and if you're also not cutting certain things short when you realize they're going too long. Third, and this is more of a nuanced tip, I would say. You still want a satisfying ending. Because if you had a great start where you gave, you know, purpose to the characters and also did a very crafted exposition that gives them kind of the scope of the adventure. If you've done that and if you've gotten variety, that's great. But so many things fall flat if you don't end, a story correctly. So that's where you can do a few different things. As I've mentioned a few times, one-shots are very hard to get to the end. Because to some extent, if you're going to have a satisfying, quote-unquote, ending, it has to be written by you or it has to be in the pre-written adventure. But the thing that makes one-shots so unsatisfying sometimes is that DMs get rushed. They essentially lead the players to an unearned ending, right? Where it's like, you don't have time to do more than just like hit the boss a couple times or discover that the boss or the big bad is the next door neighbor. Oh, you just found it out. Now you have a whole battle in front of you, right? If something like that happens, then it's going to be easy to be like, oh, you find that the neighbor's the person and the police come and arrest them and you all live happily ever after. It's not quite as satisfying. And I think players will feel that. And so what you're going to want to do is know the different parts of the one shot and which parts are less important, right? Or which parts are okay to gloss over. Because I'm going to tell you, glossing over, you know, the big end conflict, that kind of, unless it's kind of the appropriate thing based on the player's choices, it can kind of pull the rug out from underneath them. So you're going to want to, you know, if a combat is going long, decrease the enemy's points, right? And then, oh my goodness, they died now instead of 3 turns from now. Or you're going to want to have the enemy run away. For role-playing, if you notice that the conversation is going way off base, and not like in a fun way, but in a way that just kind of is tiring out the players and you, then a great thing to do would just be to offer up information, you know? Or to force a skill check that, you know, then gets them to move on and, you know, whether they succeed or fail and then, you know, that leads to whatever, you're going to want to move things along. Now, in terms of a satisfying end, I would say that you're going to also want to have, you know, the villain and the quest giver's lines somewhat written out. Not fully, right? Because that's really hard because you don't know what the players are going to ask. But at least key parts, right? Like the villain monologue. I think that that's something that can get out of hand. And then the players can do a lot of back and forth with that, which is sometimes fun. But sometimes if you're like, hey, we're down to the wire, I want to get out this villain's monologue so that the players know why they did this. Oh, also, I want to make sure that that the players, you know, get a chance to beat the villain and then hear from, you know, in the one shot I'm running, the princess whose wedding it was. You know, you're going to want to have all of that somewhat prepared so that you don't have to, you know, have just kind of an unsatisfying, like, oh, the princess said thank you, and then you all lived happily ever after. Rather, you could have the princess say, I had no idea that my best friend would try and sabotage my wedding, or something like that, right? And then, you know, maybe even give a little bit of background. And most importantly, for a satisfying ending, I think you really do need to be lavish with the rewards. If this is a one-shot, think about it. Who's going to care if you give, you know, that barbarian an axe that cuts the world in two, right? No one cares. They're not going to play that character again.
Thanks again for listening to our show. If you like our content and would like to engage with more of it, head over to our Instagram account, @HowToBeABetterDM, and give us a follow. Make sure to watch some of our Dungeon Master Rules videos while you're there to give yourself some more structure and procedure as a Dungeon Master. Also, don't forget to reach out with a DM, and we can talk shop and I can get to know you a little bit better. Thanks again for listening.
And also, what you could do is, you know, give away bigger things that you don't actually have to follow up on, right? It could be, oh, this couple in the group, you give them a house and some land, and then they start a family, and you kind of give a montage of their life. Whatever it is, just realize that you're going to want more than just like 2 or 3 minutes for the end. You're going to want enough that you can actually wrap up the story with a nice bow. And that doesn't just start with, you know, planning. That's part of it. But it's also a lot of rolling with the punches, cutting things short when they don't, you know, when they've outlived their usefulness in providing variety and story. Cutting things short and then tying it up with a nice bow by having, you know, good explanation from the villain, the quest giver, and also giving some great rewards to these players. And as a final note, if you're ever like, oh, but what if I give these amazing rewards and then we decide to do a campaign with these characters? You know what? That's fine. Do time skip, right? Have the couple whose farm that was, they got divorced or something, or maybe they lost the farm in the potato famine of, you know, 32 or something, right? Whatever it is, you can take away those overpowered rewards. I'm just saying, for the purpose of the one shot, considering it as one whole adventure in and of itself, you know, be lavish at the end. You know, lavish in terms of making the villain more villainous, the quest giver more grateful, and your players give them the happiest ending you can, and then end your story. You know, end it with a nice, and they lived happily ever after. And at that point, it's going to feel like a true happy ever after versus, oh man, we got to hurry. We got to end this. You beat them. Great. Game over. You know? So those were just some different thoughts that I had in regards to one shots. And it's something that I've worried about a lot personally, because, you know, one shots, I've run a lot more campaigns than I have one shots. And I always worry because I'm like, oh, what if it's not good enough? What if it's not interesting enough? And you know what? Just I think as a final note here, it's okay if it's not perfect, right? A one shot is just kind of an introductory thing. So long as you are trying to prepare well enough and create, first and foremost, a fun environment for your players, even if the story is not perfect, even if you forget to include a lot of variety, and even if, you know, the conflict isn't all that big, you can still have a fun time and players will want to play with you again, right? Now, if you include those other things, then it's going to make for a better one-shot. But in the end, it's the environment you create that will make players enjoy playing with you. And that's what I want to leave with you. I really hope that you have a wonderful week. I know I will. My sister's getting married this weekend, so kind of a busy weekend, but a happy one for me. So, you know, it's actually funny. I kind of started writing that one shot with the idea of weddings in mind because my sister was getting married. But I think that's one of the fun things about one shots. You can kind of create them based off of specific ideas that are one shot ideas, but are really fun. So go out there, get a nice one shot, and have a great time with your players. And until next time, let's roll initiative.